The Body Dysmorphia Family Circus by Dan A. Cardoza. From near the top of the mainstay, 10 feet below the bell ring, bony metacarpals slip the clinch. It's a failed triple somersault. Within the acoustics of the big top, the singular sound is that of a matchstick tossed in a fire, a blaze no one sees coming. Gasps rise in a collective vapor and illusionary smoke above the trembling wood bleachers. The sky is an earthquake. There is no safety net to catch our lovely Antoinette Concello, trapeze extraordinaire. She's falling. It's such a sad day. Certainly other world-renowned acts will go on. They all do when such a tragic thing happens. Ursula Bluchen, the polar bear princess, comes to mind. She's going strong. And let us not forget the amazing and steely Zazzle, the very first estrogen cannibal. Except for Zazzle, most young sister acts do high wire or flips. When you are up there, you have to be at as high as a hummingbird feather. All the adults intuitively understand this somehow and go on. Simple water cooler talks for Monday. They turn their backs for good on this 20th century dinosaur assemblage. But for the children, there wouldn't be any circus. Madison Avenue knows full well, image and death sell tickets. Not to worry, there will always be two-headed frogs. Starving to death rarely happens right before your eyes, especially under the big tent. It's such a novelty. There has to be a perfect storm. Before any attempt at the triple flip, young girls must meet the following. They must demonstrate an aversion to eating and have an obsession with perfection of flight. Strong excuses are a prerequisite to redirect any presentation of carrots, tomatoes, and potatoes. You must be able to command red armies of radish that once march May Day parades to stand down in their barracks. Beef, pork, and carbohydrates have to suffer humiliating defeats on every battlefield. Our Antoinette imagined her delicate arms avian, skeletonized with hyaline feathers. Her life is flight. As she hits the sand in the main ring, Bali girls gasp in the long corridors. Next to the bleachers, kinkers and other circus performers move forward, ready themselves as trained to distract all the looky-loos. She's only four, but Melissa is fascinated by the yarrow-colored pickle punk and the oversized jar. It's a sideshow, abomination you're unable to resist. The pickle punk is a wax reproduction of a human fetus, exhibited outside the main tent and the esplanade. The large pickle jar is filled to the lid with the frail bones of the unborn, floating in rubbing alcohol. Melissa hears all the shrieks and screams in the main tent. Startled, she drops her cotton candy and her tiny shellac purse daddy bought her just for the circus. Sticky cotton candy fingers make the letting go and hanging on so difficult. Melissa will hate clowns for the rest of her life. A tall sword swallower and the puppy-faced man clinch arms to form a human barrier to shield Antoinette from all the chaos and mass exodus. The balancing Ripley's, a six-member juggling act, chip in by forming a human curtain to shield Antoinette from the gawkers. Towners run like Zen monks, ass over tea kettle for exits. The circus is anarchy. The best part of Antoinette's act goes unnoticed. But for those up close and personal, they can see she's translucent a translucent pile of bones, femur, scapula, and vertebrae. When weighed at her autopsy, she'll be 23 pounds, including her invisible soul. On the dusty road home at twilight, Daddy tells little Melissa, now yawning in the rear view, I'm so sorry, honey. Melissa, having none of it, stares out at the raging darkness running toward her on sky stilts. Wishing answers were wings, she replies, it's okay, Daddy. I just want to fly as high as those windy bats up there. Melissa points at the sticky tar through the shiny window. The end. Thank you.